Morning, church. Happy Sabbath. I'd like to start off by asking you all a question. Do you remember your first car? Car that you had in high school, first thing that you ever bought. See, maybe it was something really cool. Maybe it was a classic. Maybe it was something like a 67 Mustang or maybe a 57 Chevy Bel Air. Something that everyone in high school wanted. It was the envy. Everyone wanted to ride in your car. Well, if you were in those shoes, then your circumstance was far better than mine. See, I had a 1992 Toyota Celica with 200,000 miles that I bought for $1,400 as a money saver, no less. And the best thing about this car when I first bought it, it was black and white. Black car with a white trunk. It looked like I was driving a giant skunk around town. Now, a year and a half into my money-saving adventure here, I actually racked up a total of $5,000 into repairs. New motor, tires, you know, you name it. And I actually decided that I wasn't going to be spending any more money on my car. If anything else had to be done, I would do it. Oil changes, anything else, you know. And if it was too much, then I was just going to start taking a bus. You know, while that state of mind was fresh, I actually got in a little bit of a car accident. Day after Christmas, a couple years ago, I was on the 10 freeway up in Redlands. This was my little car. This was a semi-truck. We were in stop traffic. And I guess this semi-truck decided to kick himself into neutral, and he rolled back about 20 feet right on top of my car, crushed everything in front of the motor. I was fine, but while I was worried about, you know, well, my life, I didn't manage to get the guy's license plate down, and he took off before I could catch up to him. Anyways, with my newly stated money saving, I'm never going to pay anyone else to repair my car. I decided to take off to junkyards after junkyard and rack up parts and parts. And I was destined to repair my car by myself. Turned out it only cost $150 for junkyard parts and 2 months in my garage. Now, I'm not an auto mechanic. Not at all. And junkyard parts, well, they're junk. And that's what composed my car after that. So you can imagine when I started driving again that there was a variety of new sounds, new symptoms, everything. Turn on the car, it'd be yelling at me. There's a hill right by my house. I'd be driving up, and I'd be getting my own massage while I'm driving up my hill. I'd be on the freeway half an hour into my day. My radiator would blow, and I'd spend a solid hour, you know, during rush hour sitting there late to class. It was nice. But, you know, into my driving adventure, I actually started to learn the symptoms, you know, knew which sounds were serious and which ones weren't so serious. And I could spot, you know, when my car was about to break down, how to kind of back off if I needed to back off or keep going if I could keep going. Let's stop for a second and think about what would it be like for someone who had not repaired my car if they tried to drive my car. If I gave my keys to my buddy Grant here and I was like, go for it, take a spin. You know, I'm pretty sure that they would either be too terrified once they got out of my driveway with the shaking, the noises, the yelling, the screaming, or he just wouldn't care and he'd just keep going until he blew my motor. You know, the point is that the time that I invested with my car, I actually came into a relationship, if you will, with my car. I knew my car. All right, let's pause for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you come and you be with us today. I ask, Lord God, that you help everyone to receive a blessing from this message. In your precious name, Father God, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, if you have Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 27. I'll give you a second. It's one right there after Matthew and Mark. All right, here we go. And it reads, then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And he said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know where you are or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you and taught in your streets. And he will say, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Okay, now, I want to give a little bit of a disclaimer here about this verse. You know, it's real easy to kind of like take this verse as like a fire and brimstone thing. I've heard some messages like that, you know, narrow is the path to heaven, you know, few will enter through the door. Don't take it like that. You know, what I want you to gather from this is the relationship that the people trying to enter heaven had with Jesus. You know, once again, these people knew who Christ was. They saw him on the streets. They ate and drank with him. But they had not come to know Jesus on a personal relationship, which is what he calls us. Let's read this verse again, starting at second part of verse 25. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. See, once again, Jesus knew who these people were, but because they did not seek that personal relationship, they didn't truly know him. They only knew of him. They weren't allowed to have the benefits of the personal relationship that we gain from Jesus Christ. All right, now we're going to have a little bit of fun right now. To demonstrate the difference between knowing God and knowing of God, I brought two fun quizzes for us. We're going to take quizzes today in church. Both quizzes are on Elvis Presley, the King of Rock. I mean, we should all pretty much know who Elvis is, and, you know, forgive the secularness of this, but okay. First quiz here. Okay, this is a little easy. I'm going to go like this, and this means answer. Okay, this means answer time. So, we'll give this a try. First question. What instrument was Elvis Presley known for playing?
Guitar.
Yeah, okay, good. We know Elvis Presley in here. Okay. Second question. This is fun. This is a fill in the blank. Okay, so everyone, when I do this, that means shout out to your answers, okay? You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Hound dog, very good, okay. Now this third one's for the A+, all right? This is a little bit trickier. We'll see who the Elvis fans are. Okay, what job did Elvis have before he was a rock star? Anyone? Truck driver, all right. Grant knew that, I told him last night. Now see, the thing about this quiz is that they're all just, you know, they're popular topics. They're popular questions you could probably gain from watching VH1 for a half an hour, you know, turn on I Love the 70s or 50s or either one. Okay, second quiz we're coming up to right now. This is a little bit different. Okay, first question on this one. Now, just bear with me here. What did Elvis give you for Christmas? Okay, that's a little weird. Second question here. Who told Elvis to wear jumpsuits in the 1970s? That's a pretty hard question to answer right there. You guys probably know where I'm going with this. Last question here. Describe the last time that you and Elvis had a deep conversation together. Now, unless, like, Elvis's niece is in here, you know, and I was betting that she wasn't, then none of us can answer these questions. See, these people back in Luke, the people knocking on the door and not getting in, they only knew Christ from a quiz number one basis. They knew of Christ. They knew who Christ was. They've seen him. They could recognize him. But they didn't have a personal relationship. They didn't have the type of relationship that they would have needed to answer questions on this quiz two basis. Okay, now, I've got a question for us all now. Sometimes it's important for us, not a question, sometimes it's important for us to reevaluate, you know, like, why should we actually get to know Christ? Not just know of, but why at times, you know, sometimes we need to know. Why know Christ? Salvation's issues aside, not because Christ is the way that we get to heaven. You know, not that, but what are the benefits of a relationship for Christ? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it lists the fruits of the Spirit as being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's like 9 really awesome things right there. See, that's God's character pretty much. And the thing about fruits of the Spirit is that when we grow closer to Christ, those benefits benefit us. You know, they become things that we project onto others because, okay, as an example, if your whole group of friends consisted of maybe, I don't know, people who bowled, they were Vikings, and they yodeled a lot, you would, in time, probably start bowling, become a Viking, and learn how to yodel. I mean, you see, that's a little odd of an example, but I mean, that's the thing. We are who we hang out with. And if we spend time with Christ, then we begin to emulate some of the characteristics that are like him, like love, joy, peace, and the rest of the fruits of the Spirit right there. You know, and those are all just things that we gain from a relationship. You know, why actually have that? You know, why? You know, everything else aside, things that we gain. You know, it's because Christ is the one person that we can have a relationship with that's never going to turn his back on us. You know, he's never going to stab us in the back. He's always going to be there for us. You know, even when we leave him, he wants to get us back. You know, and that's our relationship with Christ. That's why we should desire a relationship with Christ. And you know, you ask that question and you know, you understand those things. And then it comes to the question, you know, why should God have a relationship with us? You know, what's in it for God? We're sinful, needy humans, you know. We whine to him all the time. Forgive us, God. Well, please help my car run. You know, I mean, you know, that's that. I'll tell you, It kind of makes sense like this to me. For those of you with children, and for the rest of us, it's kind of like a relationship that you would have with like a pet or your child. For me, it's a pet. This is how I understand this. I've got a dog. He's a white German Shepherd. He's a big dog. I've got a big backyard that he tears up all the time. He makes a lot of messes, and the thing with this is I love my dog, but I hate the messes that he makes. I hate when he rips up the ice plant, when he digs up the lawn, you know, when he bites my other little dogs, you know, and I have to clean up those messes. And it's like, you know, I hate cleaning up the messes, but, you know, I still love the dog. It's like this. We made a mess of this world with sin, and Christ came down, and he loves us so much, he cleans up that mess. You know, that's what we have to remind ourselves of, guys, you know, daily. Why does Christ love us, you know? And then, you know, when you understand that, you know, that's what helps a relationship grow, you know? So then it's important to understand why it is, you know, how to have a healthy relationship. Take this. A relationship with Christ can be echoed to most earthly relationships in terms of what the relationship needs to build and last. So this is, you know, once you understand that you desire a relationship with Christ, or maybe it's been a while since, you know, you've really had a relationship, you felt the fire. Maybe it's been a while since you've really prayed. And then you kind of understand, it's like, you know what, I understand what God wants. I understand why he's calling me. I understand what he's done for me. So you understand why it's important to have a healthy relationship. Okay, and how do we do this? Well, it's kind of like human stuff. Okay, it consists of knowledge, communication, time, and the ability to recognize one's faults, just like in an earthly relationship. I'll give you an example. With knowledge, okay. Knowledge with God means that we gain knowledge by Bible study, through listening to sermons, through investing time and understanding who he is. It's like a relationship. See, we need to know who we're worshiping. You know, you wouldn't just go out and meet someone for coffee, ask their name, and then go get married, right? I mean, it might work in Vegas, but like, you know, I don't think Vegas really offers too many awesome relationships or builds them too big. See, that's why we need to know the God that we're worshiping. And then communication. You know, not just prayer, guys. Not just simple, you know, like we need to make sure that our prayer is meaningful. That we're communicating our wants to God. That we're thanking him. That we're spending time. That we're listening. I'm best man at a wedding in 2 days. Memorial Day, my best friend Jeff is getting married. Been best friends with this guy for 5 years. And how, okay, do you think I'd be this guy's best man if every phone conversation or any conversation we'd ever had opens up with, hey dude, how you doing? Sweet, bring me some food. Thank you for that, and later. You know, that's just simple. You know, sometimes our prayers to God can sound like that. Simple, hi God, I need this, thank you for this, later, peace out. And then you go out through the, you know, you go on with the rest of your day, and that's, you know, I mean, that's not real communication. That's just mundane. Okay, now that you understand, it's like, we understand that communication is important, but we have to communicate often too. That's where that time factor comes in. You know, we have to make sure that we come to God daily. See, I mean, look at this illustration right here, coming to God daily. It's kind of like communication with people that we love. Take, you know, your husband, wife, kids, parents, anyone that you see all the time, every single day. Never miss a phone call. You know, they're there in your same house. You know, and then just maybe abruptly they decide, hey, I'm not coming home tonight. I'm not going to call you, and I'm not going to talk to you for 2 weeks. You don't know where they're at, and you're just like, where'd this person go? It's been 2 weeks. You know, no idea. If it were me, I'd probably join the FBI, and I'd be out there, like, hunting them down, like, search squad status, making sure that they're okay, because, you know, I'd be that worried about them. But we do that to God all the time, you know, and it's not our fault. And sometimes, you know, it's so easy to lapse up in communication, you know, like, with me, myself, you know, I understand, I get busy sometimes. How's that snow pile, you know, from busyness and busy, oh, no. And it becomes 1 day, 2 days, and it's so easy to fall off, and that's why we need to make sure it's a daily thing that we communicate with our Father, guys. Okay, and from that, here's the fourth thing, and you don't hear this so much. You know, there's other things in terms of relationship building, especially with Christ. You know, read your Bible and study. That's important, but it's also important to pray. We understand those things. We hear those, you know, and pray all the time. We understand those things. But this one's important, and it's a little less, we don't hear this one as much. It's important to remember that we're all sinners from time to time. Every single one of us. It's important to make sure that we understand God's gift of grace. And by that, knowing that while we're saved by grace and while we no longer live in sin, that we still have the tendency and the ability to sin from time to time. And from that, that we pray for forgiveness. You know, and that keeps our relationship with Christ fresh. And not only that, but it keeps us from boasting about being perfect. It keeps us from boasting to other people, you know. I'm sure you guys have heard people talk about how, you know, sinless they are and stuff like that. I mean, you know, when you hear that, you're just, What? It's discouraging, and it's not true. So reminding that we're all sinners, you know, it keeps fresh relationship, and it keeps us from looking like a Pharisee, guys. Okay, now, I'm going to just ask a couple more questions real quick. And just keep them to yourself. Just think about it. Do you know Christ? Do you truly know Christ? Or do you just know of Christ? Do you know Christ now? Or has it been a while? Did you know Christ? Have you known Christ? You know, if you're unsure about any one of those questions, you know, then I plead you to recommit yourself to Christ and put Christ first in your life. You know, understand why it's important to have that relationship with Him. You know, go back to the first time that you felt yourself, you were saved. You know, what gave you that fire back then? Put that back in your life now, guys. You know, and from that, if you can answer that you know Christ and that you've got a healthy relationship with Him, God bless you, and I hope most of you do, and I think most of you do. You guys are all awesome people. I've talked to most of you. Love it. But make sure that you continue to, you know, follow those guides with healthy relationships. You know, make sure you talk to Christ, everything like that. Because it is so easy to fall off of that. And not only that, but if you continue to maintain that healthy relationship with Christ and you strive for that, then the Lord will continue to bless you even more than He's already blessed you so far. You know, the Lord wants to bless you to show a dying world that He is real and that there is hope. I'm going to say that again. If you guys memorize anything that I've said, and we'll give it a try, but memorize this right here. Remember this. The Lord wants to bless you to show a dying world that He is real and that there is hope. You know? Yeah, amen. Come on. There we go. Take a look at the door mentioned back in Luke chapter 13. You know, leave here today. Go back to your, you know, go to Sabbath, you know, today with confidence that if you knock on the Lord's door eventually, and when you knock on the Lord's door, that He will invite you in. You know, don't do it as an escape from damnation or anything like that. Not for certain personal, like, selfish reasons, but do it rather that when the Lord lets you into His house, that you get to see your Lord face to face, the Lord that you came to know and love down here.